بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. In our previous classes, we had discussed the issue of the one who passes in front of the musalli, and there was the issue of the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and likewise of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the woman and the dog, or the black dog, the adult woman and the black dog, and the donkey will cut off the prayer, And it has proceeded likewise that the people of knowledge, they differed about what that meant. And the majority of the scholars said that that means that the reward is deficient. But Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim and Shaykh ibn Baz and Shaykh Uthaymeen and other than them, rahimahumullah, they mentioned that the prayer will be invalidated, and that's what it means, the qata' of the salah, that the prayer will be cut off. With regards to the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, this has proceeded, and the answer for the question that will come inshallah has proceeded, but the details, I had forgot to mention them, and possibly this could be a reason for some of the questions, or maybe someone would say, what about the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, especially with regards to the issue of not opposing the sunnah? If the evidence from the Quran comes and the point of evidence is clear about the issue on a ruling, the believer, he will submit. And likewise with regards to the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this has proceeded in the previous class. But the author, he mentioned the narration of Aisha that we had studied, radiallahu anha, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would pray the night prayer, and whenever he would make sujood, he would touch her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wake her or to inform her to move her legs. Actually, in this narration, there's a story behind that and why she mentioned this narration, radiallahu anha, that she said that I used to lay in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he's praying, and whenever he would make sujood, ghamazani, and he would poke me with his hand, and he to inform me that he needs to make sujood, and she would pull her legs back, radiallahu anha. It's mentioned that whenever she heard the narration that is narrated by Abi Hurairah and Abi Dharr, radiallahu anhuma, that the woman, the adult, and the black dog and the donkey cussed the prayer, that she heard this, and she was harsh about that, and she said, shabahtumuna bil kilabi wal himar, in some narrations, adaltumuna, that you have made us to be similar, or you have resembled us to the dogs and to the donkeys. And she said this, radiallahu anha, and then she mentioned the narration, verily I used to lay in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while he's praying, and he would make sujood, and he would touch me, and I would move my legs for him, and then whenever he is finished, I would put my legs back. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she used this narration she mentions here as an evidence that the woman who passes in front of the person doesn't cut the prayer. The answer for this question has proceeded. She's not passing. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she understood in her understanding, and she is from her her great virtue, afqah an-nisa. That's what's mentioned about Aisha radiallahu anha, afqah nisa al-alamin, the most knowledgeable of the women of the world. And at her time, she is the most knowledgeable of all women, knowledgeable of the Quran and the Sunnah, knowledgeable of the legislation about Islam, the most knowledgeable of the women, radiallahu anha. But this is her understanding here, that the woman passing in front of a man does not cut his prayer because she used to lay there in front of him. But it's clear what the people of knowledge have mentioned, that the reality here is there's a difference between passing in front of a person and laying in front of a person, or sitting in front of a person, or being in front of a person. So the fact that a person is in front of you does not invalidate the prayer, and it does not decrease the reward of the prayer. And it's fine if a person is in front of a person praying. It's just like for them to face you while you're praying. But if one were to pray and somebody's lying there or to the back of somebody, there's no blame in that, and there's no fault in that. And this is not the same as if a person were to walk and pass in front of them, between them and their sutra, and in between them and their sutra. So the affairs are different. So the affairs are different. So some people may say, well, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that. You have likened us to the dogs and to the donkeys. And someone may also misunderstand and think that Aisha radiallahu anha, she's rejecting the sunnah. And this is not the case. And this is not the case. Radiallahu anha, she would never reject the sunnah. But what is clear from the wording, and Allah knows best, she says, shabbahtumuna, that you all have. And she is indicating that she believes, and Allah knows best, that they made a mistake on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You all have. You all have likened us to the donkeys and to the dogs. And you all who are narrating this narration, this can't be the narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because I used to do this and used to do that. And so you meaning that she believed that they had made a mistake. So she's not rejecting the sunnah or denying the hadith, but rather Allah knows best, she's considering them to have made a mistake. And she used the circumstance as an evidence. So with regards to today, this narration is established, and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, and other than that, and it's established that it's authentic. So a person, he will not have the excuse that Aisha radiallahu anha had, to say that, oh, maybe he made a mistake. Some of the people of knowledge likewise mentioned that maybe she thought that that ruling had been abrogated. And Allah knows best the situation. But in any case, there's two benefits here. One of them is that we give Aisha an excuse, radiallahu anha. And we say that that was her understanding, that she considered the one sitting in front of the person to be like the one passing. And as far as what is correct is that they're different. They're different. So we give her an excuse, radiallahu anha, and we say that's her ijtihad. And we respect her, but the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is authentic for us. So what will a Muslim hold fast to? The sunnah, the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a woman couldn't come today and say, well, Aisha said this and Aisha did that, and therefore why are you talking about women like this? And some women are tried by this, especially those who have been tried by the corrupt ideology of the Western thought. Of the Western thought, and that Islam has belittled the women, or that the women are equal, and they're not equal, and they're not created equal. And this is the reality, and Allah knows best about His creation. And that doesn't mean that a woman can't be better than a man, rather there are many women who are greater than many men, and stronger than many men, stronger in their faith and their deen and their obedience. That's not the issue here. The issue is that the women and men are different, and Allah created them different, and they're not the same. And they're not the same. So to claim that is falsehood and contrary. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Allah, He said that in His book. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And a man is not like, the male is not like the female. This is what Allah, He says. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ. Doesn't Allah, the one who created, He knows best. He knows best. And so in any case here, the narration reached us now that the woman, she cussed the prayer. So therefore we say what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and we suffice with that. And we would not be able to rely upon the understanding of Aisha radiallahu anha and the likes like that, because that's her understanding. But at the same time, we would not find fault with her, whether we would give her the benefit of the doubt, and this is her ijtihad, and this is what she believed and what she strove for. And in this particular issue, she was wrong. Along with her virtue and her nobility and her knowledge that she has of the sunnah and this issue, there's a clear difference between the one walking in front of a person and the one sitting in front of a person, or the one laying in front of the person. So each one has its own specific ruling. So I just wanted to clarify this issue, yani to make it clear, yani the importance of holding fast to what has come in the narrations and preferring the sunnah over the desires and the whims, and to cut off any avenues for shaitan to come and whisper to them, to mislead them or give them a misunderstanding, because knowledge is light. Because knowledge is light, and without knowledge, a person, he'll be in darkness. and he can be easily misled, and he could be abused by shaitan and the allies of shaitan, and misleading them and misguiding them and the likes away from the truth. Also, there was another issue with regards to tahiyat al-masjid, and there had been some questions about that. So just to further clarify that issue, the issue of the prayer, there are prayers that are muayyana, and they're specific, obligatory and non-obligatory, specific prayers that is intended for itself. Like the five daily prayers, they're obligatory and they're intended for themselves. And it's intended, Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha and Fajr, they're specific prayers. They're specific prayers. Also non-obligatory. There are specific prayers like Salat al-Duha. This is a specific prayer. This is a specific prayer for a specific reason. And the night prayer. And as Sunan, Ar-Rawatib. These are all specific prayers. They have specific reasons. There is a reason for it itself. As for Tahiyat al-Masjid, it's not a specific prayer. It's not a specific prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't mention this name. This is a name or an issue that the people of knowledge, they mention. The issue of Tahiyat al-Masjid. What is intended from these two rak'ah is that one will pray before he sits down. That one will pray before he sits down. So however that happens, then he has fulfilled that right. However that happens, he has fulfilled that right. So if there is a specific prayer and a prayer that like Tahiyat al-Masjid, for example, or another example of that also like the two rak'ah of wudu. Also, what is intended from that is to pray after you make wudu. What is intended from that is to pray after you make wudu. So these here, they're not specific like duha. And Tahiyat al-Masjid is not specific like duha. So they will enter into a specific prayer. They will enter into a specific prayer. So you, a person, he could come in, for example, at dhuhr time, and he could intend to pray two sunnah for dhuhr, and also Tahiyat al-Masjid would enter in with him. It would be coupled in with him. So for example, if a person, he wanted to pray four rak'ah before dhuhr, and he came in the masjid and he didn't pray at home, he would not come and pray six, two for Tahiyat al-Masjid, and then two for dhuhr, and then two more for dhuhr, and pray six total. We understand that? Because he will not do that, because Tahiyat al-Masjid was intended from that is just to pray before he sits down. So it sufficed him with the sunnah of dhuhr. He fulfilled that right. He fulfilled that right. And on the other hand, likewise, the sunnah of dhuhr, they're intended for themselves. So one couldn't come in also and misunderstand on the opposite end and say, well, I'm going to pray four for dhuhr. I'll intend them both together and pray two. We understand that. Well, there's four before dhuhr, right? I'll just pray two of them and intend them together. Like if I prayed the tahiyat al-masjid, I'll intend that and intend the sunnah of dhuhr, and I'll pray two only. And I get the reward for four, right? If you do that, if you intend to pray tahiyat al-masjid along with the sunnah of dhuhr, do you have the reward for both of them? Inshallah, you have the reward for both of them. Taib, so then you have the reward, you pray two and you have the reward for? Inshallah, you have the reward for four. But as for the sunnah of dhuhr, there's two and then two. There's four together. So you can't pray two with the intention of four, because these two and two, they're intended. They're intended for any specific prayer that's intended specifically. We understand the difference, because some people maybe have misunderstood that. So for it to be clear, there are prayers that have a specific reason for them, and their specific prayers, they have to be fulfilled, and they cannot be entered together. And they cannot be entered together. There's no tadakhul in this type of ibadah. But if there is a prayer and then there's that's specific, and another prayer that's not specific, it's not intended for itself, like tahiyat al-masjid, then it can make tadakhul, and they can be prayed together with one intention, and with intention for both of them. We understand that? Similar like that, the people of knowledge, they have mentioned tawaf. The person who makes umrah, he has to make tawaf when he comes, and that's the tawaf al-umrah. But also, there's a sunnah of making the tawaf, and it's called tawaf al-qudum. And when you come to Mecca, the first thing you do is you make tawaf. You make tawaf. Or there's also the tahiyyat of Masjid al-Haram is not to rak'ah, rather it's the tawaf. So if a person came and he was making umrah, he would not come and make seven for tahiyyat, and he would not come and make seven for qudum, and then make seven for his umrah, making 14 lamps. La, he will come with the intention, and or even if he didn't intend the qudum, it will fall off of him and it's not incumbent or a right for him. And if he intended that, inshallah, we have the reward for both. So there are some times whenever worship can make tadakhul, and there's times when it can. Whenever there are specific actions of worship, there's no tadakhul. For example, if somebody forgot to pray the sunnah of Fajr, and then he came in at Dhuhr and he remembered, and he wanted to pray the sunnah of Dhuhr and the sunnah of Fajr, make it up, and he remembered. Can he do that? No, he can't do that. Why? Because sunnah of Dhuhr is specific, and the sunnah of Fajr is specific. It's specific. As for if he came in and he had to pray Tahiyat al-Masjid, or if he just made wudu and he wanted to pray two rak'ah of wudu, because there's a great reward for that, the one who makes a good wudu, and then he prays two rak'ah, he doesn't talk to himself, and he will have paradise, he will have Jannah, so he wants that reward. But he can have that intention with the Tahiyat al-Masjid, or he can have that intention with the Sunnah of Dhuhr, or the Sunnah of Fajr, if he came at Fajr, and the likes like this. And the likes like this, and Allah knows best. So this issue, I wanted to clarify that. After this, we continue reading. We had started reading the narration of Zayd ibn Arqam, radiyallahu anhu, and we have seen some benefits from his tarjama. What does tarjama mean? Sirah, ahsant, from his biography, that he said, "Qala kunna natakallamu fi salat, yukallimu rajulu sahibahu, wa huwa ila jambihi fi salat." حتى نزلت وقوموا لله قانتين فأمرنا بالسكوت ونهينا عن الكلام. So he mentioned رضي الله عنه. He says we used to speak in the prayer. And in one wording in Sahih Bukhari, he said على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in the time of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, يكلم الرجل صاحبه. Also in some wordings in Sahih Bukhari, he says يكلم الرجل صاحبه بحاجته. That one of us will be, that we used to be in the prayer, and we will talk to each other. That a man, he will talk to the one next to him. But it's clarified in Sahih Bukhari that any for his need, that if one of them had a need, any there was something that he needed during the prayer, he would say it to him. He would say it to him from the affairs of the dunya. From the affairs of the dunya, it would be like this. In the beginning, one of them would speak to the other one about the affairs of the dunya. Like this. Hatta nazalat, until it was revealed. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and stand before Allah قَانِتِينَ, and in devotion and obedience and humbleness, and here any سَاكِتِينَ, silent. فَأُمِرُنَا بِالسُّكُوتِ, and we were commanded to be silent. وَنُهِينَا عَنِ الْكَلَامِ, and we were prohibited from speaking. And we were prohibited from speaking. So this issue here, or this narration here, clarifies the issue of speaking in the salah. Speaking in the salah, speaking from the affairs of the dunya, and this is not permissible. This is not permissible, and it's from the affairs that would invalidate the prayer. And the evidence is here. What Zayd ibn Arqam, he mentioned, radiyallahu anhu, that they used to do that until it was revealed. Waqumu lillahi qanitin, and stand before Allah qanitin, with qunut. The verb is qanata. Qanata yakunutu, and the masdar is kunut, and that word, it has many different meanings. The word kunut, it has many different meanings. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and from the meanings of kunut, yani al-qiyam, standing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked about the best prayer, afdal as-salah, yani the non-obligatory prayer, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said tul al-qunut, the best prayer. The most virtuous prayer is the long kunut. The long kunut. If we only understood one meaning of kunut, somebody may misunderstand the intent from this narration. Also from the meaning of kunut, a dua, like the kunut of witr. Sah, that's not intended here. What is intended here? Tul al-qiyam, to stand in a long time. And this is with regards to the non-obligatory prayer. So this is from the meanings of kunut. Another meaning is dua, like kunut al-witr. And qunut and nawazil, the making the qunut and the prayer, in the salat, in the witr prayer, and likewise in times of calamities and hardship. And so what is intended here by al qunut is supplication and dua. Also qunut, it means ta'ah and khudu' and dhul, lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedience, dawam al-ta'ah. And Allah, he mentioned about his prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifan wa lam yakun min al-mushrikeen. That verily Ibrahim, he was an imam in khayr, qanitan, yani constantly obedient and devote and submission and surrender and humility before Allah. So this is also from the meanings of qunut. And those who have interpreted this verse, yani, they have mentioned these meanings, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and stand before Allah like this with humbleness and humility and devotion. And from that also, and from the meanings of al-qunut, as-sukut. As-sukut. And this is what the Sahaba, they understood from this. فَأُمِرْنَا بِالسُّكُوتِ وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, and stand before Allah in this manner of devotion and servitude, meaning in silence. In silence. And being still and being humble and being submissive. So he says, so we were commanded to be silent and we were prohibited from speaking. And we were prohibited from speaking. So we see that speaking in the prayer, and he's talking about the affairs of the dunya, this is contrary to the purpose of the prayer and the intent of the prayer and the aim of the prayer. And to remember Allah Azza wa Jal and to be humble before Him and to have al-munajat with Allah Azza wa Jal. What is al-munajat? Remember that word? The private consultation and conversation. This is al-munajat, the salat munajat between Allah Azza wa Jal and the slave and the servant and the one who is praying. So this is the purpose for a believer to remember Allah and to be humble before Allah, to be submissive to Allah and to hope in Allah and to fear Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be devoted to Him, especially in the time of prayer. And this is the purpose of the prayer. وَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. And establish the prayer for my remembrance. So speaking in the prayer is contrary to that entirely. Speaking about the dunya, how are you doing? Like this. Or even if somebody said, move forward. Or somebody said some words in the prayer that's not from the salat, this would invalidate the prayer. This would invalidate the prayer in its contrary. So to speak in the prayer is from the invalidators of the prayer. It's from the invalidators of the prayer. But if somebody were to speak on accident, from the affairs of the dunya, he were to forget that he's in the prayer, and he said something. He said something and he spoke. What is the ruling for his prayer? It has proceeded in the bab sujood as-sahw. His prayer is valid. If he spoke in the prayer from the affairs of the dunya on accident, he forgot he's praying, and then he just said to somebody something, some words, bring me some water, give me something to drink, or you guys be quiet, please. Like this, he forgot he's praying, or it slipped, and he sometimes maybe his mind left himself and he said something from the speech of the people of the dunya, and then he remembered that he's in prayer. A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. Yani his prayer, inshallah, is good. His prayer is good and he'll continue. Then there's the issue of sujood as-sahw. Would he make sujood as-sahw? If we remember the principle for making sujood as-sahw. Ma'amduhu saha fi ma'amduhu yubtiru salah. And if he forgot and he did something that if he did it on intention, it would invalidate the prayer. So if he spoke intentionally, would it invalidate the prayer? Then he would make sujood as-sahw, and Allah knows best. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned you don't make sujood as-sahw. Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhaydi, he mentioned you make sujood as-sahw based upon that principle, and Allah knows best. Because if he were to speak intentionally, then it would invalidate the prayer. And anything that one does on accident, out of forgetfulness, that if he did it intentionally, it would invalidate the prayer, then this would require for him to make sujood as-sahw, to rectify that. Mm-hmm.
The
rulings of that have preceded, huh? You remember?
Yeah.
If he's behind the imam, then if he did that while he's with the imam from the beginning to the end, meaning he's going to make salam with the imam, then it's going to enter into the same issue. All the same rulings from the ma'mum and sujood as-sahw. Whatever the sahw may be, the rulings are the same. Naam. And Allah knows best. So if he spoke on accident from the affairs of the dunya, inshallah, his prayers is still valid. And he will make sujood as-sahw to rectify that. But if he were to speak on purpose, then this would invalidate the prayer. except if it's in the for the benefit of the prayer. And the people of knowledge, they mention this to exclude the issue in the hadith of Dhil Yadain. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forgot and he made the salam after two rak'ah. And then the people started talking. Some of them got up and left, and they started saying the prayer was shortened. And then Dhul Yadain, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was the prayer shortened? And he responded. And they spoke back and forth. But they're speaking about the prayer, about the issue of the prayer. So this didn't invalidate the prayer. This didn't invalidate the prayer. Yani, and Allah knows best. So they mentioned this here about the maslaha of the salah. The maslaha of the salah. So if a person, he spoke from the issues of the dunya, it would invalidate his prayer. Likewise, if he were to laugh. If you were to smile, just to smile, then this is disliked. But if he were to laugh until he's heard a sound, this also will invalidate the prayer. This also will invalidate the prayer. What if he was ignorant of the ruling? He didn't know. He didn't know you can't talk in the prayer, and he started talking in the prayer. He said something in the prayer. How you doing? His prayer is correct because he has to know. The proof? رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا. That's the origin in the whole affair with regards to forgetfulness. If we, oh Allah, do not take us to account if we forget or if we make mistakes. And if we forget, we do something, we forget, or it's a sincere mistake, he didn't intend it, it happened, then the sin is lifted from that. And Allah, He revealed that those amazing verses in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah that every Muslim recites before they go to bed. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, do not take us to account if we forget or if we make a mistake. And in Sahih Muslim, there's a narration about this revelation and how these verses were revealed whenever the companions, they were mentioned about the verses before that. وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Then if you, whether you make it apparent or you hide it in your soul, then Allah, He will take you into account. Then Allah will take you to account. And the companions, they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this one's hard. This one's difficult. As for any what we make apparent, you know, we understand that. But what's in our souls, we're going to be held accountable for. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, are you trying to be like the children of Israel and those before? And so the companions, they submitted. They says, as for what we make apparent, then this one we can understand, we're taking account for that. But as for what goes in on our heart, we're going to be held accountable for that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, are you going to be like those before? And they said, sami'na wa ata'na. And they said, we hear and we obey. And they surrendered. And again, going back to the affair of atawakkul. They put their trust and reliance in Allah azza wa jalla. And they said, okay, then we submit and we surrender. And they put their faith in Allah azza wa jalla, and we submit. Then these verses were revealed. And every time, whenever there's a dua in these verses, Allah, He says, قَدْ فَعَلْتُ. قَدْ فَعَلْتُ. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. قَدْ فَعَلْتُ. Allah, He says that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, do not take us into account if we forget or if we make a mistake. Allah, He says, I have done that. And I remember, subhanAllah, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, we studied Sahih Muslim with him in the Masjid al-Nabawi. This is a long narration, and the narrator, the reader, he is about to cry reading the hadith, and he coming to this part. Allah, He says, "Qad fa'altu," I have done that, and you have that, And all, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna Allah tajawaz an ummati ma inna Allah qad tajawaz an ummati an nisyana wa khata'a wa mastukrihu alayhi." That verily, Allah, He has pardoned my ummah, and He not held them to account for a sin, for that which they forgot or that which they were forced to do out of coercion and without intention, that which they forgot and that which they made a mistake in, A mistake here, what is intended is somebody did something wrong, but he didn't intend to. And he made a mistake. He did something wrong, but he didn't intend to. He didn't mean to. And that's what that means, he made a mistake. And he thought it was one thing. He didn't intend to. He did it wrong. The person is not held accountable for that. And likewise, that which they are coerced or forced to do, they're not held accountable for that. And this is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal on the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, there's another evidence with regards to this issue, and that is the hadith of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakim. and he was praying with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he didn't know this ruling, and someone sneezed and he said yarhamukallah. And then the companions are looking at him, and then he's like, what's wrong, why are y'all looking at me? And then, you know, they beat on their thighs radiallahu anhum, and then he realized, you know, he said, okay, I'll be quiet. After that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him, and what did he say at this time though? Radiallahu anhu, he says, he said, ma ra'aytu mu'alliman qablahu wa la ba'dahu ahsana ta'liman minhu. He said, I never seen a teacher before him or after him better than him. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a teacher. And this is a wonderful benefit. And he was a teacher. He came to teach the people. He's teaching the people. A teacher, he wants the people to learn. Somebody who's teaching somebody, he wants the people to learn. And if you want somebody to learn, you don't beat them. You don't beat them. You don't belittle them. You're not harsh to them. You're not rude. Whether you do the best thing and the easiest thing for the student to benefit. So this was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I never saw a teacher better than him at teaching. Not before him and not after him. He said, wallahi ma kaharani. He did, wallahi, he was not rude to me. Wala darabani, wala shatani. He didn't hit me. He didn't talk bad to me. None of this. All he said was this prayer here. There nothing is good in this prayer from the speech of the people. La yasluhu fi hadhihi as-salah shay'un min kalam an-nas. And it's the only thing that you're supposed to do here is to remember Allah and read the Quran and remember Allah and to praise Allah. And to praise Allah. And so he taught him like that. And this is the way to teach the people who are ignorant. Those who don't know, you teach them good like this. Those who don't know, then they should be taught in the best way, in the best manner. So in any case, he didn't know. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him and informed him. And he didn't command him to repeat his prayer. So therefore, if somebody didn't know the ruling and he's talking in the prayer, his prayers is good. His prayer is good. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned about the tanahnah. Or the nahnah, like this in the prayer. Or even they mentioned like crying in the prayer. Or the lights like this, if two letters come, the prayer would be invalid. If, like this, if he spoke two letters and the lights like this. I mentioned it just briefly because some people may know of that, and this doesn't invalidate the prayer. This is not established. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to cry in the prayer. كان له عزيز كعزيز المرجل, that he would have in his heart or in his voice sallallahu alayhi wasallam the sound of like a pot whenever it's boiling, yani from tears. And likewise Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, yani whenever the Prophet commanded the people to tell Abu Bakr to lead the salah whenever he's sick in the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yani Aisha, she kept saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inna Abu Bakr asifun la yusmi'u an-nas. And if Abu Bakr, he's weak, he's poor man, he always cries, and his voice is too light, the people never hear him. And he can't stop himself from crying in the prayer. Don't make him lead the prayer. She's trying to protect her father from that great responsibility. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kept telling her, Muru Abu Bakr fa yusalli bin nas. Go tell Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. Command him to lead the prayer in this manner like this. So it's known that they would cry in the prayer. So crying in the prayer does not invalidate the prayer. And none of these affairs, inshallah, invalidates the prayer except for speaking intentionally while knowing about affairs of the dunya. Or laughing out loud. Laughing out loud. And from the speech. Al-akil, that's not speech. The mubtilat ukhra. Inshallah, we try to touch on them, inshallah. The opportunities will come with narrations. And the author, he mentioned some of the other issues with regards to this. Yani, with regards to what would invalidate the prayer. So from that is speaking about the affairs of the dunya. Yani, while knowing. And also laughing. After this, the author, he says, An ibn Umarah, and Abdullah ibn Umar wa Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhum. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anhu qal, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إذا اشتد الحر فأبردوا عن الصلاة فإن شدة الحر من فيح جهنم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whenever it becomes very hot, إذا اشتد الحر فأبردوا عن الصلاة فأبردوا يعني فأخروا الصلاة إلى وقت البراد فأبردوا يعني فأدخلوا الصلاة في وقت البراد يعني then delay the prayer until the time of barad enters. If it's very hot, and it's known in those lands that sometimes it'll be very hot, and this is the case and the ruling is in general, and if wherever the people may be, if it's very hot in the daytime, especially in the peak of the day, at the dhuhr time, then the sunnah here is to delay the dhuhr prayer until the time cools down. And maybe it will still be hot. But if you wait until later, maybe like an hour before Asr, for example, or a little before that, then it will still be hot outside, but it will be cooler than before. At the time, right at the time of the beginning of Dhuhr, for some time, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it will break. The heat will break some. And this is the time of Al-Ibrad, the time of Ibrad. And so to wait until it cools down some. So the origin, as has preceded in this chapter, that the all of the prayers, the best time is to be prayed in the beginning. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked about the most beloved actions to Allah. And in the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he said, As-salatu li waqtiha. And some word is, As-salatu ala awwali waqtiha. Or fi awwali waqtiha. As-salatu fi awwali waqtiha. As-salat, yani in the beginning of its time. So that's the origin with regards to the salawat. But this is an exception. An exception. Whenever it's preferred to not pray at the beginning of the time. And this is the salat of dhuhr, whenever it's extremely hot outside. Whether the sunnah here is to delay. The sunnah here is to delay the time until the heat cools. Until the heat cools some. And this is called the waqt al-barat. Yani al-ibrat. Yani to delay the time and to pray the prayer in that time. فَإِنَّ شِدَّةِ الْحَرِي مِنْ فَيْحِ جَهَنَّمِ. Because the extreme heat is from the spreading of the heat of the hellfire. From the heat of the hellfire. And this narration is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is something a believer, he believes in, that the extreme heat, it comes from the hellfire, and likewise the cold. And likewise the cold, even this narration, it has a whole wording that إِنَّ النَّارَ اشْتَكَتْ إِلَى رَبِّهَا, the verity of the hellfire complained to her Lord. One part of me is eating the other part. And the fire is saying this to Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned. And the hadith is mutafiqun alayhi. And this is from those affairs that a believer, he submits to and he believes in. And the one who gives everything the ability to talk, he can give the hellfire the ability to talk. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fire said this, complained to its Lord, that verily one portion of me is eating and the other portion. فَأَذِنَ لَهَا بِنَفَسَيْنِ. So Allah, he allowed for the hellfire to have two breaths. نَفَسَيْنِ. نَفَسٍ فِي الشِّتَاء وَنَفَسٍ فِي السَّيْفِ. One breath in the winter and one breath in the summer. فَهِيَ أَشَدُّ مَا تَجِدُونَ مِنْ الْحَرَارَ وَأَشَدُّ مَا تَجِدُونَ مِنَ الزَّمْهَرِيرِ. So this is the severe heat that you find in the summertime, and the severe coldness that you'd find in the wintertime. Imam al-Sa'di, he mentioned, rahimahullah, but this is something that we believe in, that cold and that heat is from the breath of the hellfire. But also we believe in this is a spiritual belief, and we believe in the sefer, and it's a reality from this aspect here. And we don't know how that is, from the affairs of the unseen. But we believe in that. And also we believe in the means that we see as well. The means that we see as well from the sun and from the seasons, and likewise from in the creation. There's means for the heat, and Allah has created. And we believe in that, and we believe in that. We believe in all. We don't negate any of them. We don't negate the means that Allah has created, and likewise we don't negate that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us about. But in any case, a believer, he will take advantage of this. And therefore, whenever he sees that it's very cold, he will remember the hellfire. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. There's places in the hellfire that are burning cold. It's the opposite of the heat, but it's burning, and it's punishment and it's torture. And that's for those who disobey Allah. And for those who disbelieve and disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, whenever it's extremely hot outside, a believer, he will remember the hellfire. SubhanAllah, even in the seasons, there are signs in the mercy of Allah, and signs in the majesty of Allah, and the power of Allah, and the wisdom of Allah. And we see now, like, all of these trees, they're dying, and they used to be flourishing, and they used to be alive, and they used to be beautiful, and they used to be green, and they used to have flowers, and the likes, and all that beauty is going away, little by little, little by little. Last week it was more bright, and now this week some of the trees have become empty. And before, maybe some of the trees, they were turning yellow. But now some of the trees this week, they're finished. If you notice, if you look around, you'll see this. The last few weeks, they start changing colors. red and then yellow. And now if you look, some of those same trees, they're completely bare or almost bare. And there are others that are changing and slowly differently. The trees are different. Some of them, they lose their leaves quicker. And this is the example of this life. Yani a person, if he lives old, this is what's going to happen to him. He's going to wither up and go away. He's going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created him and provided for him and sustained him. And he's going to be asked. So a believer, he'll benefit from these affairs, the cold and the heat and the seasons and the environment around him. He will not be heedless. Rather, he would ponder over these affairs increase in faith. So here we have the issue of al-ibrad, and that's why the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, this narration. So it's recommended. It's recommended if it's extremely hot for the time of the prayer to be delayed. And this is the case for those who have authority, that they will delay that. But if the adhan and the aqama is set at a specific time, yani from the authorities, like from the government, or from the heads of the masajid and the likes like this, if they decided not to use this, even if it's very hot, but they decided that the maslaha is better for them to have the prayer at the beginning of the time, and this is what they had decided, then the people will follow that, and they will not cause corruption. And this is a sunnah, and it's recommended. And so it's not an obligation. So if we find that there are countries that are hot, for example, and they didn't practice this sunnah, and the people of knowledge, Sheikh Uthaymeen, he mentioned they haven't used this in over 20 years. Over 20 years they have not made the ibrad in the Mamlaka. And this is something that the people of knowledge have gathered together and discussed and mentioned, that the benefits for the society now are not in making ibrad. It's not in making ibrad. But in any case, it's a sunnah. And if the people of authority, they choose to follow that, that's good for them. And if they don't, then the people, he'll follow behind them. And he will not make his own prayer or the likes like this in contradiction or opposition to the jama'ah, especially if it's under a Muslim government and the likes like this, or even in the masajid and the likes. So this is the case for whenever it's hot. As for when it's not hot, then the origin is that it's prayed in the beginning of the time. And also, this is an indication of the mercy and the ease of al-Islam, and also an indication of the importance of the congregational prayer, that the prayer has been delayed in this manner to make it easy for the people, and also so that the people will not have an excuse, and that the congregation can still be facilitated and can be gathered, and the people can come. And if it's extremely hot outside, sometimes maybe a person, he will fall behind. Maybe he'll fall behind. And maybe others, they'll be strong and they'll be able to bear it and they'll continue. But this could be a reason for some to fall behind. And so to observe this issue and to keep the jama'ah together and the congregation united, and for the people to pray together behind one imam in this manner, this is legislated in this manner. It's legislated in this manner, observing the jama'ah and also observing the issue, the ease. And also with regards to the perfection of the ibadah. Because maybe a person, if he is praying and it's extremely hot outside, then maybe this will cause him to not be able to have khushu' and not be able to focus and not be able to perfect his prayer in the proper manner, because he's dealing with heat, he's dealing with hardship, he's dealing with difficulty. So if he waits till the time whenever it's cool or less hot, and then he comes in that manner, his heart will be ready and he can devote itself properly and he can have khushu' in the prayer. And this is something that is established. Yani also from that which has preceded, yani la salata bi hadrati ta'am wa la wa huwa yudafi'uhu al-akhbathan, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that there's no prayer whenever the food is ready, and also whenever he has to use the restroom. And at this time he should not pray, rather he'll be excused whenever the food is prepared and he has a need for the food. And if he were to leave it at the time and go to the prayer, his heart would be attached to the food and not to the prayer. So therefore, it's allowed to miss or to come late to the congregation in order to observe the khushu' and the prayer, so that his heart will be attached to the prayer. So also the issue of ibrad, it has a similar wisdom. Also from the benefits, the people of knowledge, they mentioned about this narration, that the hellfire is created right now. It's created right now. Allah, it's already created. It exists. It exists right now. The hellfire exists right now. U'iddat lil-kafirin. After this, the author, he mentioned the narration of Anas ibn Malik. An Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anhu qal, man nasiya salatan falyusalliha idha dhakaraha, wa la kafarata laha illa dhalika, wa aqim as-salata li dhikri, wa li muslimin, man nasiya salatan أو نام عنها فكفارتها أن يصليها إذا ذكرها. The author, he mentioned the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that whoever forgets a prayer, then let him pray it whenever he remembers. Then let him pray it whenever he remembers. And there's no expiation for that except for that. And there's no expiation for that prayer except for him to pray it whenever he remembers. And then he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the statement of Allah, وَأَقِيم الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. And the author, he says, وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ, and also a wording from Muslim, مَن نَسِيَ صَلَاةً أَوْ نَامَ عَنْهَا فَكَفَارَتُهَا أَنْ يُصَلِّيهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا. If one of you forgot the prayer or slept during the prayer or slept on the prayer, and you mean until the time is finished, then the expiation for that is that he should pray it whenever he remembers. Whenever he remembers. From the benefits of this narration, we see that forgetfulness, again, is an excuse in the legislation. That if a person, he made a mistake and he forgot to pray, for example, or he forgot an obligation, then there's no sin upon him. Then there's no sin upon him. But the obligation remains. The obligation remains. And the sin is not upon him, but whenever he remembers the obligation, it remains. And he has to fulfill that obligation. The obligation does not fall off. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَلْيُصَلِّهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا. Then let him pray it whenever he remembers it. Let him pray it whenever he remembers. So therefore the obligation, it remains. The obligation, it remains. And if he forgot to pray it, then he remembered. He should pray it. And whenever he remembers. And the issue here is that he must pray it as soon as he remembers. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَلْيُصَلِّهَا. And the lam here is lam al-amr. Lam al-amr. And wal-amru yudullu ala al-wujub. And the origin with regards to the command is that it's an obligation. فَلْيُصَلِّهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا. So whenever he remembers, he must pray it. He must pray it. And the people of knowledge, likewise, they mention about this, that he will pray it as soon as he remembers, even if it's in the times whenever the prayer is prohibited. Whenever the prayer is prohibited. And he will pray whenever he remembers it. And even if it's in the time, whenever there is a prohibition. فَلْيُصَلِّهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا. He will pray it as soon as and he remembers it. Meaning he'll make wudu and he'll take the means. And he will pray as soon as he remembers that prayer. As soon as he remembers that prayer. And this is the means to expiate that. You need to rectify that. So if a person here, he forgot, he's not held accountable. And there's no sin upon him. But the obligation remains, he must fulfill that. If a person were to sleep, if he were to sleep on the prayer and past its time, then the ruling is the same. And he will pray it as soon as he wakes up. He'll pray it as soon as he wakes up. But with regards to the sin, the issue is different. There are details. Inshallah, we take it in the class to come. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.